Strandhog 2.0 can hijack Androids, an iPhone jailbreak for iOS 13.5 is released, and a critical vulnerability hits Cisco servers. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I'm Shanna Morris, and this is ThreatWire for June 2nd, 2020. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. On to the news. Do you remember Strandhog? I feel like I talked about it quite recently. It's a vulnerability that affects Android devices that can allow for a malicious app to hijack legitimate ones, which could expose sensitive data from the device. Well, there's a new Strandhog. It's dubbed Strandhog 2.0. It's very creative, with CVE-2020-0096 that does a similar attack. This one was also found by the Norwegian app security company Promon's researchers, and it is a privilege escalation vulnerability allowing for an attacker to again hijack an infected phone. Now, this one can also allow for a malicious app to hide behind legitimate ones, and when clicked, it could execute to expose sensitive data such as SMS messages, movements and location, audible conversations, and a lot more. Now, Strandhog 1.0 used Android's Task Affinity feature to hijack a phone, but that one would leave a trail for detection, so it was easily detectable. Strandhog 2.0 is worse, though, in that it can mimic the real apps while being completely hidden to a user, as it does not use Task Affinity. The attacker can put a legitimate-looking app in the Play Store, and after it is downloaded by a user, then forcing download of the malicious code later. The new version has the ability to attack multiple applications at once instead of just one at a time as well. So how does a device get infected? Well, this could require an attacker to inject data into original launcher activity of apps, mimicking the real applications. This means eventually, whenever a user clicks the app icon again, the OS will read that injected data as being legitimate, and it will allow it to continue without alerting the user that anything suspicious is happening. Google issued a patch for Android 9, 8.1, and 8, but anything older will not get an update and will continue to be vulnerable. Android 10 devices, on the other hand, are unaffected. Vulnerabilities like this can be a really big problem for Android phones, since a large percentage still use devices that are no longer receiving updates. I have not covered an iOS jailbreak in years. In years! But a new one has been released by a hacking group called Uncover, allowing for jailbreaking of 13.5 on iOS, which was just released by Apple. This can work on iOS 11 and higher, and it was built on top of a zero-day vulnerability. The team says that it does not drain the battery life of the device, and it does not affect usage of Apple services or create vulnerabilities in the sandbox security of the operating system. Now, the negative side of this is that the jailbreak is not open source, and the specific vulnerability that it takes advantage of was not disclosed by the group. In order to use this on your device, you need to have physical access, the device unlocked, and plugged into a computer, so it potentially will not be used by attackers very often, given the fact that you need physical access. A user can download the Uncover binary via the Alt Store, with Xcode, or with Cydia Impactor, which I believe is the way that we used to do it way back in the day. So why would you want to jailbreak your phone? Well, this tradition has been around for a very long time, although it's lost much of its popularity because of stricter control by Apple. Jailbreaking allows for customizations outside of the general options, more control over the software, and download of applications outside of manufacturer stores. Uncover's jailbreak can, for example, allow a user to get a Unix shell with root privileges, and that's pretty cool. Now, as with any jailbreak, be aware that they can cause data loss or compromise the device. To research what you are doing on the device before you actually do it. But even so, this announcement was so exciting for hackers and jailbreakers that the site for Uncover actually went down just after they published it. Before we hit story number three, I wanted to say thank you so much to my supporters over at patreon.com/threatwire. My Hush Puppy Perk level patrons, they're awesome. They always send in amazing fur baby photos. I love them, keep them coming. Also, a new perk has been added for this month. Now, anyone who becomes a patron will get access to ongoing discounts for my online store. So you can get anywhere between 10 to 20% off of merch. any show stickers, digital photography, t-shirts, anything, just for being a Patreon supporter at any level. And if you want to support ThreatWire but you don't want to be a Patreon supporter, you can also go to that shop at snubsy.com/shop to get those ThreatWire t-shirts, ThreatWire stickers, and even my own digital photography, all of which supports my shows. Now, there is so much to cover in security and privacy, I never have time to discuss everything in these episodes. I only get to 3 stories. So if you want me to cover more InfoSec news as an audio podcast, check out the next Patreon goal. I think you'll like it. Chosen by the ThreatWire patrons is a main story about Cisco being hit with a security breach. Cisco disclosed a security breach in late May that affects its backend infrastructure products. In the alert, Cisco stated the SaltStack software package was hit by attackers to gain access to servers, including us-1-4.virl.info, as well as vsmus1and2.virl.info. Now, these all provide backend infrastructure for a Cisco service that lets users create virtual network architectures for testing networks before deployment on premises or locations. And this is called AKA the Internet Routing Lab Personal Edition, which is also called virl.pe. Now, the attack was patched and it was remediated on May 7th when updates for SaltStack were released. Unfortunately, Cisco also stated that another commercial product bundled with SaltStack, which is called the Cisco Modeling Labs Corporate Edition, aka CML, also needs to be patched. In total, 2 SaltStack vulnerabilities were used in these attacks, and those are with CVE-2020-11651 and 11652 for an authentication bypass attack and a directory traversal, both of which were disclosed on April 30th. Now, since both CML and VIRL-PE are vulnerable, and Cisco deemed these to be critical, the company recommends that users update immediately using the patches available. Now, before I leave, I want to say thank you so much to CRT Hayes, I love your name, Writings, Choi, Bill, and LaVon, who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you so much to each and every one of you. You are awesome. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet. Stay safe, everyone.